Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. We were just speaking with Paul Sutter, his book, Your Place in the Universe. Now we welcome photojournalist Brian Scarry. He's also a National Geographic Fellow. Scarry specializes in marine wildlife and underwater environments. His work brings awareness to and hopefully inspires conservation. Scarry captures images that not only celebrate the mystery and beauty of the sea, but also bring attention to the pressing issue which endangers our ocean. He will be visiting Park City this Saturday, December 29th. He'll speak at the Eccles Center. He joins us now to preview that talk. Brian Scarry, welcome to Cool Science Radio. Great to have you.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So I watched your TED talk last night, which is captivating, and I'm curious, I think basically you are trying with your photos to tell the stories of what is going on in our ocean, especially those alarming issues with harp seals, with sharks, with basically all of everything that's going on in our oceans.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I started exploring the world's oceans as a teenager over 40 years ago, and I just wanted to explore the ocean. I wanted to make pictures of interesting animals and places that sort of spoke to me. But there really has been somewhat of an evolution in my career in that I began to see a lot of problems occurring underwater, and I was reading scientific papers about 90% of the big fish in the ocean, the sharks and the tuna and the billfish, having been taken because of commercial overfishing, and we were losing half of the world's coral reefs. And, you know, as a journalist, I really felt this sense of responsibility and a bit of a sense of urgency to turn my cameras towards those issues to tell a more complete story. I think it's important to celebrate the beautiful marine life that lives in the ocean, but I also think we need to understand the problems if we're going to ever find solutions. So, yeah, that's sort of what my work has been about in recent years at National Geographic.
And you've spent a tremendous amount of time in the water with all of these sea creatures. You also spent some time in the water with President Obama. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I can. It was quite extraordinary, really. I had proposed a story to National Geographic magazine about using 2016, which was the centennial anniversary of the National Park Service in the United States, as an opportunity to look towards the future and protecting our oceans. You know, we've done a pretty good job of protecting terrestrial places in the United States, but maybe not so much underwater. And I thought with all the focus on the national parks at this 100th anniversary, that would be a good opportunity. So my team at National Geographic was in touch with the White House during President Obama's last year because he also, it seems, was interested in using presidential powers, using the Antiquities Act, as his predecessors had done, to designate special places as marine national monuments or national monuments. And as it turns out, in the final days of August in 2016, we got the word that he was going to create the world's largest marine protected area in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, the place that actually had originally been protected by George W. Bush. But he was going to expand the boundaries and in doing so create the largest. So I flew out there the day before, and my plan was just to photograph him being interviewed on the beach. But I was ultimately invited by him to go snorkeling. Nobody knew he was going to do that. But I ended up spending about 2.5 hours snorkeling with the president and making the very first pictures of a U.S. president underwater. And it was amazing, you know, from an experience level. He was a great swimmer. He was very fit and actually quite difficult to keep up with. But it was also just really amazing to see him, you know, studying the coral reef and the fishes and the sea stars and sea cucumbers and asking questions about these things. And we talked about the value of protecting the ocean and climate change. And yeah, so it was pretty special.
Brian Scarry is our guest. He's a National Geographic Fellow, and he'll be speaking at the Eccles Center this Saturday, coming to Utah, where we don't have a big underworld of the things that you typically study. But we do have lots of documentaries that come here, especially during the Sundance Film Festival. I think that's when we first saw it, Chasing Coral. And wow, what a disheartening film to watch, but fascinating. And coral's one of the things that you document. Can you tell us about how the coral either came back or didn't in that area that you were just speaking of?
Yeah, well, you know, I should point out, first of all, that, you know, I think it's really important for folks that live maybe not necessarily near the ocean, whether you're living in Park City or the Sahara Desert, to recognize that the ocean is directly tied to our lives, no matter where you live. Every other breath that a human being takes comes from the ocean. More than 50% of the oxygen we breathe on planet Earth is generated by the sea. You know, we most of us, I think, know that rainforests and trees give us oxygen, but the ocean is actually the largest carbon sink on the planet. It takes in more carbon and gives us back more oxygen. So no matter where you live, you do have this connection to the ocean. And coral is a big part of that, of course. There's many things in the ocean, algaes and planktons and so forth, that give off oxygen, take in carbon, give us back that. But coral reefs certainly are one of the biggest producers of O2 for our planet. And as I mentioned earlier, about half the world's coral reefs have been lost. They're either severely degraded or completely dead. And a lot of this has to do with climate change and rising temperatures in the ocean and ocean acidification. As the ocean has absorbed so much carbon, it becomes acidic, and anything with a calcium base to it, so little animals like pteropods or coral reefs that are made of calcium, begin to erode. The coral reefs that I saw in Midway with President Obama were still very healthy, at least when I was there a couple of years ago. But, you know, most places in the world are seeing some evidence of destruction because of these anthropogenic stresses. And the best thing I believe we can do is to protect large swaths of the ocean. You know, most scientists say if we protect about 30 to 40% of the ocean, we can have a healthy future. It stems climate change. It does all these great things. But we're only at about 3% today. So we still have a long way to go.
Well, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. But to your point, we had a conversation with Roger Payne recently. He's one of the conservation efforts, you know, for whales. And he did some math. And the math was basically, if all the plants were to die in the ocean, it would be akin to us breathing air 200 meters above the peak of Mount Everest.
Wow.
So that's
yeah, staggering number. And Roger Payne is a great hero of mine. I'm actually doing a big whale story right now for National Geographic, so I'm looking and reading a lot of his old work. But yeah, I mean, the ocean is, you know, we very much live on a water planet, even though we're terrestrial creatures. We sometimes lose sight of that. And I think it's important to be reminded.
Brian Scarry is our guest. He's a National Geographic Fellow and a photojournalist. He'll speak at the Eccles Center Theater this Saturday, December 29th. For tickets and more information, visit parkcityinstitute.org.